I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Defeat is not God's will. It's never God's will. The Bible said this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The scripture says he always causes us to triumph in Christ. If God had his way with our life, you'd win and win and win and win and win and win and win. And then you know what you'd do?
Win.
You'd win. Huh? Now see, people in the world will say, you win a few, you lose a few. That's the way the old ball bounces. Yeah, but we ain't bouncing the old ball. We are new creatures in Christ. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in this new way of life, winning is the way of life.
Amen.
Everybody said out loud, he always,
causes me to triumph.
He has made me, an overcomer.
More than a conqueror.
In this life. And this is the victory, that overcomes the world.
Even my faith.
Hallelujah. And that's why we have Faith School. So faith is so important in everything we do every day of our lives. But faith must be fed. It must be nourished. It must be exercised and used. And so that's why you need something on an ongoing basis. Just like, you don't just eat one time and you go, well, I'm done. No, you're going to need to eat again tomorrow, right? And next week, for ongoing strength. Well, the Bible uses the same illustration about eating God's words, that it nourishes and feeds your spirit. And so that's why we have this going on, on a daily basis practically. And because of the internet now and all our things online, you can go to faithschool.org, and we've got hundreds of previous faith messages there, no charge, no cost. And you can feed on something every day if you like. And class, do you think it's a good idea that they feed their faith? If you weren't here, the Lord ministered to us and different ones in past times. He'll do the same for you. Father, all of us agree today as touching this, asking you for the utterance, the anointing, the grace. Everyone that's joining us, Lord, give ears that can hear, eyes that can see, hearts that can discern and understand. And we ask for help for right now, answers for right now, and grace and strength for now and what's coming tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, if you would go in the scriptures to the 23rd Psalm, the famous Psalm 23, just a little short review here. We've been for a number of weeks on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. Now, you can have faith in one area and be pretty strong in faith, and in another area have no faith at all because your faith's been fed in this area and you've become convinced and fully persuaded. But sometimes even people have heard the wrong thing. If you hear the right thing, the anointed word of God, it'll put faith in you. It'll strengthen your faith. If you hear the wrong thing, deception and lies and unbelief, and you accept it, it'll take faith out of you. It'll rob you of your faith. So it matters greatly what you listen to and what you watch and what you read, those kind of things. And so we're feeding our faith for provision. And the title of the series is, like we said, Faith for Provision. And we're in the process of giving 30 reasons from Scripture, not just opinion and theory, reasons from Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Did you hear that phrase? Why don't you just say it out loud and try it on, see how it feels. Say, abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all. Now, you know, just from listening around, not everybody believes that. There are people that will try to tell you and that, you know, that lack is a tool that God uses to develop you and teach you, along with sickness and a number of other things, any number of bad things, hardship things. But where did they get that? What is that based on? I'm in the process of giving you 30 reasons from Scripture that clearly show abundant provision is always God's will for us all. So if you're convinced of the other, see if you can come up with 30 reasons from Scripture why it's not God's will. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You can't, because God does not change. He never changes. Now, one thing that confuses people is that there are, just because something's God's will, that doesn't mean it's going to happen in your life. Now, people argue about that. But you understand this. If God was going to push His will off on human beings about anything, He would force people to receive Jesus and be saved and not go to hell. He won't do that. He will not do that. He's allowing people to reject Him against His will, against His plan. If He will do that with that, He'll certainly allow you to do things against His will that are of lesser importance and lesser significance. So just because it's God's will for people to be saved doesn't mean they will be. Same thing with being healed. Same thing with your material needs being met. He requires faith, a cooperation. You must agree with Him. You must believe what He tells you. You must by faith receive what He has given, and by faith act on what He tells us to do. And in these cases, He will watch over His word. He will perform it in your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And His will be done in your life when it is not being done in the lives of many others. The thing you got to do is you got to get rid of all this ideas of, well, yeah, but this is what I believe. Yeah, but what's it based on? Submit yourself to the Word of God. If you believe something, and your folks have believed it, and a whole group of people believe it, but the Word says something different, you need to get rid of this and receive the Word.
Amen.
Do you agree, class?
Yes, sir.
That we accept the Word of God as the final authority in every situation, answering every question.
Yes.
If that's your desire and your commitment, go ahead, say it out loud. Father God,
Father God,
I acknowledge
you are true.
Your word is right.
And
eternal.
About everything.
And I accept your words as first place
and
final authority
in my life
concerning all things. Hallelujah. Now, if you mean that, then the Lord will open your eyes to see things in the Word. Because if you're not going to let the Word be first place, there's no point in Him showing it to you to begin with.
Right.
You're not going to listen, but we will listen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we're in the process of giving 30 reasons from Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And the first reason was, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, What Christian church you go to and they don't know the 23rd Psalm? Huh? I mean, this is, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that claims to be a Christian that doesn't like the 23rd Psalm. And goes, oh, I don't believe in that. No, 23rd Psalm, you get almost universal agreement, right? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, 23rd Psalm. But notice how it begins. It's amazing how you can just read right over stuff. Psalm 23, verse 1. What does it say?
The Lord is
my personal, my shepherd. What's the result?
I shall not want.
Now that word want in the same King James Bible is translated lack. Same Bible. So it's just as accurate and precise to say I shall not lack. Well, is it God's will for us to lack or not? If you got a good shepherd, he goes on to say what? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, if you're a sheep and it's the middle of the day and you're laying down in the pasture, it's because your belly is full.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Elsewise, you're going to be nosing around trying to find something to eat. But he's painting a picture of the Lord's care for us. Here's the sheep. He's laying in this beautiful valley, green grass waving over his head. He's eating so much, he can't take any more right now, and he's enjoying a good nap. And what else? He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 5, he prepares a table before me. All of this points to abundant provision and protection. True?
Yes.
You can't get lack out of this. And yet people, for some reason, they decide to believe that instead. Like we had said, this was our first reason in the 30. And some of the other translations of this, I've really enjoyed. The Young's literal says, Jehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Does that sound good? Holman says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. I mean, aren't they all saying a similar thing? Another NIRV says, the Lord's my shepherd, he gives me everything I need. The basic English says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep, I will not be without any good thing. The easy to read says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Is it Bible?
Yes.
It's the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
I will always
have everything
I need. So how do you reconcile it might be God's will for you to be broke for a while? It might be God's will for you to be poor, for you to lose everything you've gotten, be kicked out of your apartment, wind up on the street, have things, taken away anyway, but losing them, you know. How can that be when this is so plain? He didn't say except for some people. No, God's no respecter of persons. He never changes. And so that was our number one reason. But we didn't stop there. We're moving right on, right? Reason number two was the goodness of God. And I can't start reviewing or I'll wind up preaching on it again. But go to faithschool.org and get the whole thing. Number three was the fatherhood of God. Is he a good father?
Yes.
Number four was the creation of God. God did not create lack. He didn't create. That's something that happened after the fall. Then number five, God's will in heaven. How many broke people in heaven? None. Number six, the God of Abraham. If Abraham was here in the class, and if he was, I'd sit down and listen to him. But if he was, if we said, Father Abraham, what kind of God did you know? You know, sometimes people say that God may want you to be broke to teach you some things. What kind of God did you know? What would Abraham say? No, I knew a God who made me rich, yeah. Right? We're the richest people around. Then, number seven, we saw that we are the seed of Abraham, and the blessing that God gave him belongs to us by our faith in Jesus Christ. We looked number eight at the blessing of tithing. The Bible didn't say tithe and go broke, right? It talked about tithe and the windows of heaven opened up, amen. Blessings poured out till you don't have room to receive it, yes. And the devourer rebuked for your sake. Does that sound like being broken? No. Number nine, we talked about honor and riches. Number 10, wisdom and wealth. Number 11, being imitators of God as dear children. God lives big, yes. Right?
Yes.
He lives large,
yes.
Right? I mean, heaven is amazing apparently. And so, if he wants us to be broke and poor, he certainly doesn't practice what he says we should do. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And he told us, be imitators of him. The 12th reason, the great I am. And then the 13th, numerous names of God, including Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Reah, Jehovah Sidkenu, all these different names. And he is the God of abundance. He is El Shaddai. All these names reveal eternal things about him that will never change. And we searched, but we could not find El Cheapo. Right? We could not find. just trying to save you some time. If you're going to look for reasons why, you're not going to find it. Number 14 was the last one in our study, and that is that God is the God of restoration. We saw numerous examples of where people, through making mistakes and through other things, had great loss and had lost things. But they cried out to God, and he had mercy, and he forgave, and he restored them.
Yes.
He restored them. We looked at the book of Job for a bit. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I think maybe I'm just like poor old Job. Well, you should shout hallelujah. And you need to correct some things. Job was anything but poor. He was a multi-billionaire by today's standards, and he had a rough year, and he made some mistakes. He said some things and did some things he had to repent over, but he wound up with twice as much as he had before, and God restored him. Is God still in the restoring business today?
Yes.
Well, we're down to reason number 15, which would be halfway, wouldn't it? In our study of 30. Reason number 15 today, are you ready to go on?
Yes.
We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of God's provision in the wilderness. Provision in the wilderness. Now, this describes what God did for his people, Israel, the seed and descendants of Abraham, when he brought them out of Egyptian slavery and was bringing them through the wilderness to the promised land. Back some time ago, we did a series called Overcoming Unbelief. And we spent a lot of time on that. And again, I encourage you, go look that up, watch that. It would help you to understand a lot better what we're doing now if you saw that. But the thing we're just focusing on now with this reason and this point is that God's provision in the bleakest of places, his provision in the wilderness. Look with me in Deuteronomy, if you would, the second chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy 2 and 7, he says, "The Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness these 40 years The Lord your God has been with you, and what? You have lacked nothing. Where?
In the wilderness.
Now this is absolutely desolate desert. There's no water. There are no trees. Certainly there's no grocery stores. Right? I mean, this is not a place you could find any sustenance. But God purposely did some things there to demonstrate to all generations that He can provide anywhere.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can and will provide in any time, any circumstances, anywhere. It doesn't get too hard for the Lord. And this is something we need in our thinking. We need this because the enemy, he'll try to lie to you. And you don't, you know, he's not going to come in a red suit with a pitchfork. He'll just bring thoughts to your mind. And a lot of these thoughts is, even if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, and you believe God can do anything, well, he may see it's not much point for it to work on you on that point, because you're convinced God's real and He can do anything. But He'll fall back to another position. Well, can He do it here? You know, can He do it now in this economy? In these, you hear that?
Yeah.
In these circumstances. Which is why we're talking about God's provision where? In the wilderness, where there is nothing. There is nothing. But God did it. And for 40 years in the wilderness, they what? Lacked nothing. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In Nehemiah 9:19, it said, yet you in your manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. Now this was in spite of their absolutely rebelling against Him. God is so merciful. What you see in addition to Him able to provide in any circumstances is His mercy in providing even for people at times that are fighting against Him. He is a gracious God. And so He said, in your manifold mercies you forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light in the way wherein they should go. Does God still want to lead us today?
Yes.
Yeah. Every day? Every night?
Yes.
Well, we're not, somebody said, man, I wish we had a pillar of fire and a cloud. No, that'd be stepping back because that's being led externally. And the Lord said, right before He left, He said, it's better for you that I go away. Now, see, the disciples had a hard time with that. They're like, oh, no, we're going with you. He said, no, because what? He said, the Spirit of God has been with you, but He shall be in you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In you. And see, they didn't have that. They didn't have that. And none of these people were born again. And so you couldn't say, be led by the Spirit inside you.
Amen.
They didn't have access to that. And so God's leading them by external things, by a pillar of fire, by a bright cloud. But now today, you and I don't have to say, you need to know the Lord. You need to get to know the Lord. And you know, from external things, because it said, you will all know Him.
Hallelujah.
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 From the least to the greatest. Amen. And how? Internally. And what Romans 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Sons of God can expect to be led not by things outside here, because for one thing, the enemy can do things out here even some spiritual, even some spectacular things, and that could be a vulnerability. But the enemy is not inside you. The Holy Spirit is inside you. Hallelujah. And I can be led by Him without having to look to anything outside here. So that's what Proverbs is referring to as well. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him where? Inside, in your heart, and He shall direct your paths. So go ahead and say it out loud. The Spirit of God, leads me, guides me, every day,
every night.
I'm not led
by
things outside.
I'm led
internally by the witness of the Spirit. Amen. He said, verse 20, you gave also your good Spirit to instruct them, and withheld not your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. In this crazy heat and this crazy dryness, and how many know you could wear out a pair of shoes in 40 years? And a pair of everything and clothes of everything. But God provided for them in the middle of the most desolate desert year after year after year, so that they lacked nothing and even their clothes did not wear out. Can God do it?
Yes.
He can do it. That's why we're saying we are sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're sure abundant provision is always God's will. Why? Look at how He provided for them. And we're His people. We're His new covenant people in the most desolate of places. If He could feed them out there where there's nothing, He can feed me where I am.
Amen.
Today, He can take care of you. He can take care of me in any circumstances, anywhere. Somebody say, I believe it.
I believe it.
Let's say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome this world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, that's it. Our time's up again for today, but we just got this introduced. Come back with us tomorrow, and we're going to see how God can provide.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.